It's great to be able to share with you today as we're wrapping up the Genesis portion of this series where we're looking at the end of the book of Genesis, which is all about the story of Joseph, the first Joseph. And if you don't know Joseph's story is the perfect story for people at such a time as this, because Joseph was someone who had a great and mighty and awesome experience of God and who went through incredible suffering before he saw that experience fulfilled. So I want to share with you what we learned from him, because I believe that what we learned from him is some of what we most need to know right now. Now, we're going to read some scripture from the very end of the story, but I want you to know the beginning. So Joseph is the youngest son of Jacob, who is sometimes called Israel. And he and his brothers are where the 12 tribes of Israel come from. Joseph, being the youngest, had a special place in his father's heart. And once his father even gave him a coat of many colors. And because his father gave him some preferential treatment, do you think his other brothers liked that? No, not really, right? They hated it. And just to remind you of how he got that preferential treatment and that coat of many colors, I wore my shirt of many colors for you today, even against the advice of our camera people. Now, we see that there's this tension among the brothers, and then Joseph has a dream. And in his dream, he dreams that he will be lifted up into a position of authority and power. And this is a dream and a true vision from God that will come to be, but he does the wrong thing with that dream. He tells his brothers about it. And he says, I will have power over you. And there are some dreams that you need to tell other people about, and there are some that you need to keep to yourself. When I first started dating my now wife, Rebecca, after about 2 weeks, I had this experience where I just knew that is the woman I want to marry. I didn't tell her that for 2 years. She would have thought I was crazy and run completely the opposite way. She understands that psychologically you don't really know someone for at least 3 months. But regardless, some stuff you gotta keep to yourself, some stuff you gotta share. Joseph hadn't figured that out yet. He was a really talented, somewhat arrogant young person, and his brothers couldn't stand him. And they couldn't stand him so bad that they almost killed him. But they decided, hey, why kill him when we could make a profit off of him? So instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery. He was purchased by slave traders. He was taken down to Egypt and ultimately sold as a slave to a captain in Pharaoh's army. The captain's name was Potiphar. Now, Joseph actually excelled in his role in Potiphar's house. Slavery back then wasn't quite like slavery now. Generally, you could eventually earn your way out of it. It wasn't this perpetual slavery of you and all the generations like we think of from early American history. So it was not a good situation at all, but he still had some hope. And he was really excelling in Potiphar's house. In fact, Potiphar made him one of his chief servants and put him over many other servants. And Joseph was doing all that he could to be a person of integrity in the way that he went about working for Potiphar and helping Potiphar in the business of his household. But there's another thing about Joseph. Joseph was a pretty good-looking young man, and Potiphar's wife figured that out. And Potiphar's wife kind of developed this thing for Joseph. And eventually, after he consistently repelled her advances, she got so hurt and so frustrated that she set him up and falsely accused him of sexual assault. So you can tell that Potiphar really liked Joseph because he didn't have him executed. He had him thrown in prison. And so now this young man, who was the apple of his father's eye, who received an incredible vision from God, he is a foreigner, he is imprisoned, and his crime is committing sexual assault against a captain in the army. Now, that is not exactly someone who's likely to get out on parole soon, right? That's not someone who's going to have the resources to be able to climb out of the situation they're in. It would have been easy for Joseph to give up at that point, but what does he do instead? Instead, he forms friendships. friendships with the other prisoners, and indeed friendships with the warden and the soldiers overseeing the prison, so much so that he becomes to be a person of great responsibility within the prison. And the warden trusts him almost as much as the warden trusts anybody else because of who he is, because he's always approaching life as, how can I befriend and how can I serve? And if you don't know what to do, if you're in a situation where all seems lost, you can do a lot worse than saying, how can I befriend those around me and how can I serve those around me? And a lot of times that'll get you through times that you might not have otherwise seen a way to get through. That's what we learned from Joseph. Well, one of the gifts that God had given Joseph was the ability to interpret dreams. Just as Joseph was able to interpret the dream that God gave him of rising to power and authority, he can interpret other dreams. And one day, other prisoners have some dreams they can't interpret, and Joseph interprets them. And then one of those prisoners gets released back into society and goes to the palace where he serves Pharaoh. And one day Pharaoh has a dream that Pharaoh can't interpret and none of Pharaoh's counselors can interpret. And this servant says, I know a guy. He's a prisoner right now, but he has a gift for interpreting dreams. And so Pharaoh brings Joseph from the prison to the palace. And Pharaoh says, I've had this dream. I saw 12 fat cows. And then I saw, I think it was maybe 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. And the 7 skinny cows ate the fat cows. And I don't know what it means, but it's really troubling me. Joseph says, I know what it means. God has revealed it to me. You will have 7 years of full harvest, bumper crops, and then you'll have 7 years of no harvest and famine. So build silos and storehouses and take all the extra grain from these good years and store it for the lean years. Pharaoh thinks this is brilliant. Pharaoh immediately releases Joseph from prison and puts him in charge of this new agricultural product and initiative that he has to store up the grain. And those years of fullness come, and then the lean years come. And not only is there enough food for all the people in Egypt, but because of the law of supply and demand, everybody else around them doesn't have food and has to come to Egypt to buy their food. And so Egypt can charge whatever they want for that food, and Egypt becomes this incredible world power. And Joseph becomes second in command to Pharaoh, from enslaved, imprisoned, to palace, from the prison to the palace. This is Joseph's story. Eventually, Joseph's family and his brothers have to come down to get food. And Joseph meets his brothers and eventually is reunited with his father. And then eventually his father dies. And his brothers are scared because their life depends on Joseph. Joseph is so powerful. And they feel like he's only been allowing them to stay alive and to have food to eat out of respect for his father. And now the father's gone. And it's Joseph's chance to really get him back, really show him. This is what happens, Genesis 50, beginning with verse 15. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we have done to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. So how'd he get there? These guys almost killed him. They were his brothers. He was their younger brother. They were supposed to be protecting him. They almost killed him. They sold him into slavery, pretended he was dead. And here he is weeping with them and saying that he's forgiven. How do we get there? What do we learn from Joseph? Well, here's what we learn. He found something. And he found that he had this, wherever he was in life, he had this gratitude. So I want to share with you a principle we learned from Joseph. To keep resentment from causing you to redline, you must make gratitude your baseline. okay? You need to go through life with a baseline of gratitude, or your resentment will get the best of you. And when you have the chance to get back at somebody, when you have the chance to really stick it to them, you'll take that chance. Not Joseph. Joseph wanted something much better than that. He didn't take it. Why didn't he take it? Because he had gratitude in his life. When he was sold into slavery, he remembered he still had God's calling, right? He was still the beloved son of his father, and God's calling and God's vision hadn't been annihilated when he was sold into slavery. When he ended up in prison, he still had God's call. He still had God's vision. He still had God's presence with him. He still had a baseline of gratitude, whatever bad thing happened to him. And this week, with all that's happened in our world, with all that's happened in our church, when I thought about speaking today and I thought how much I wish that young lady Ariana, who's no longer with us, how much I wish she was staring back at me from the second row today. When I thought about the military members who gave their lives in Afghanistan, when I thought about our families who've lost loved ones to COVID, when I thought about the hurricanes and the floods in Waverly, I thought, are you really going to get up there today and are you going to tell people that they need to be thankful? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because that's what Joseph teaches us. That's not me saying that. That's what the story of Joseph, that's what God's saying to us through the scriptures is, I know all these bad things can happen and I don't intend them to, but I'm going to bring good out of them, right? That's what Joseph said. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended me to do me harm, God intended it for good. God doesn't want people sold into slavery, but God will use it for good. That's what God's doing all around us today. If we can learn to take that path of gratitude where we have a baseline of gratitude from which we live our lives. In his recent book, Effortless, Greg McKeon tells the story of a young father who is driving in his minivan with his family. They had a family of six, two girls and two boys, and one older boy was not with them that day. And there was a teenage driver speeding through and out of control on the road they were driving on, who crashed into them, and the mother and the two daughters passed away. And the younger son who was in the vehicle was hospitalized for some time. The father walked away with a few scratches, and the older son who was not in the car dealt the rest of his life so far with just severe, severe survivor guilt. And if you can imagine being a father in that moment and seeing that devastation, the twisted metal, the broken bodies, if you can imagine what that does to somebody. And they asked the dad how he made it through that time. And he said he can remember staring at the broken bodies of his family and the cars and all the smoke and everything going on. And he said it was almost like an out-of-body experience. And he said in that moment, God showed him two paths. And he said one path that it almost looked like he could literally walk down it was dark, and it was full of resentment and it was full of hate. And there was another path that was light, and it was full of gratitude for the years his wife and his daughters had been in his life. And it was full of gratitude for his sons who were still alive. And he said, I chose in that moment to walk that path. And I wish I could just tell you that everything for the survivors was magically healed and made whole, but they've gone through all the trauma that you would expect folks who, you know, all the things that happen to you internally that you'd expect from an experience like that. But he's had the power to walk through it because he chose that path of gratitude. Question for us today is, are we going to choose that path? Because it is a choice. You can go down that path of resentment, but let me tell you, it's a path that's only going to poison you. You can go down that path of gratitude, and it's a path that's only going to bless you. And it blessed Joseph to the point that he was able to forgive his brothers and reconcile his family. Could you forgive? Do you think you'd forgive a teenager who was out of control in a vehicle who destroyed your family? Could you forgive a family member who betrayed you to the point of almost taking your life? Do you think you could? Well, let me share with you, if you're wondering right now, if you're saying, I'm not sure I could do that, If you find forgiveness real hard, it may be because your gratitude is real low, your basic gratitude level. Now, there's an easy way to kind of understand this, and I need somebody to help me. I need to know, do we have a young person, a child, teenager who'd come up here on stage with me? Anybody? Hey, come on up. Okay, all right. So I want to introduce you to one of the fastest guys in Farragut. Come on up. This is Noah Aker. Noah is a ninth grader this year. He's at Farragut High School. He's on the track team and the football team. And so, Noah, when you need some extra money, what do you do for money?
Well, I usually go out, mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Do chores around the house.
Okay, so mow the lawn, right? You get some money. So that your parents probably pay better than this. But I just want you to imagine for a moment. Let's say you mow the lawn, you weed eat, man, you pull the weeds in the garden, you're out there, you work up a big sweat all day, and they're like, thanks, here's a dollar. Okay? There's a dollar. You got a dollar. But now, when you have money, what do you like to buy with it?
Not really. I just kind of save it.
Save it. Okay. So you've worked hard for that dollar, right? Now, if I come up to you and I go, man, I forgot to mow the lawn, do the chores. I don't have any money. Can I borrow a dollar? You want to give that to me?
I would.
You might. Yeah, but that'd be pretty hard when I've been lazy and you've got one. Okay, let me see the dollar for a second. Now, let's say you mow the lawn and you get $21. Hey, Noah, could I borrow a dollar? You got 21. Could I borrow one?
That'd be a bit easier.
Yeah, it'd be easier, right? Thank you, Noah. Tell you what, man, keep the 20, spend it on whatever you want. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
And by the way, you got a brother, don't you?
Sure
do. Yeah, give him that. I don't want bad blood between brothers when we're talking about Joseph. Right. Give Noah a hand. All right. All right. So when you have a bunch and somebody needs some, it's easy to, it's really easy to give, right? When you have a little, you got to think about it. And you're not real sure. When you've got a bunch of gratitude and you need to forgive, you're going to have the resources to do that. But if you're running, if you're in gratitude debt and then you need to forgive, it's going to be really, really hard for you to do that. And that's what was wrong with Joseph's brothers, right? They didn't realize how good they had it. They didn't realize how much they had to be grateful for. They were so mad that Joseph got this coat. They were so mad that Joseph, got a little extra favor in their father's eyes. Of all the people, I mean, these are the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're pretty influential, powerful guys. They might not have known all that back then, but of all the people alive back then, there's only about 50 of them from that time period whose names we still know, and we still know their names. It worked out great for them. They just couldn't see that in the moment. They didn't have gratitude, and it almost led them to commit murder. And it led them to engage in human trafficking with their own brother. You know, I knew a guy in college, and he was a guy, he came from a family that had a lot. And when I say they had a lot, I mean, like, some of us, our parents would come out and they'd be like, hey, we came to visit, grab your friends, we'll pay to take them out to Cracker Barrel. Right? That was a pretty good day. Well, this guy's dad would fly in on the family helicopter and be like, any friends want to come up with us today and fly down to, UT for the ball game? Little different set of circumstances. And I remember one day somebody sitting there and they're like, that dude, he was born on third base and he thought he hit a triple. Guess what, folks? That's the problem with Joseph's brothers. They didn't realize they were born on third base. They had it all. They had it all. You know what we have? It's not just whether you have a helicopter. We're all born on third base. We're all given this life by God. Like, who of us deserve to be born? What did you do to earn entrance into this life? We didn't do that. What did you do so that the living God, the eternal God, might become human and give his life on a cross for you, giving up everything precious that you might know him, even if he had to suffer more than any of us has ever had to suffer? What did you do to earn that? Who cares if you have a helicopter, you have a Savior? We were all born on third base, and we need to embrace that gratitude if we're going to be able to overcome resentment and if we're going to be able to forgive like Joseph forgives. And here's what we find Joseph does in all this suffering. Joseph's suffering positions him to forgive and reunite his family just like Jesus, right? Joseph suffered innocently. Now, he wasn't perfect like Jesus, but he did nothing to deserve the sufferings that came his way. And because he suffered innocently, and because he was faithful during his season of innocent suffering, he was in a position to forgive and reunite his family. That's why some people call the book of Genesis the gospel in miniature, because it begins with the human family broken, and it ends with a family being put back together by someone who suffered innocently in order to forgive and reunite. And what Joseph does on a small scale for his family, Jesus does on a cosmic scale, that the human family, the human race, we've been broken, and he says, I'll give my life, I'll suffer innocently so that you can be forgiven and so that you can be reunited and learn to love one another the way I love you. I want you to know something. When you go through suffering that you don't deserve, that you didn't do anything to cause, in those moments, if you turn towards resentment, if you turn towards hate, you're going to walk away from God's call on your life. Because if you will walk faithfully through those moments, you will be in a position to reconcile others. You will be in a position to help others who go through something similar. You will be in a position to bring others together who otherwise would have been broken apart, because you're in one of the most powerful positions the world could ever place you in if you go through innocent suffering faithfully. That's what we find in Joseph. That's what we find in Jesus. And whatever this life brings, that's what we pray others will find in us. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, in times when we suffer, in times where life brings us more than we can handle, and more than we'd ever asked for, help us to be faithful. Help us to remember and to live out of a baseline of gratitude. Oh God, for you are with us. And if you are with us and we lost everything else, we still have everything. But if we lose you and gain everything else, we truly have nothing. Oh Lord, we pray that you might instill in us a joy and a gratefulness that allows us to forgive as many times as we are sinned against, that allows us to reconcile even those who have raged against us. And we know that this power comes not of ourselves, for we could never muster it, but comes from you. We see it in the life of Joseph. We see it in the life of Jesus. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray others might see it in our lives as well. This we pray in Jesus' name, for his sake, and all said together, amen.